Friend of ours recently asked a great question. How can you be so confident in getting married so quickly? We were married after 6 months of meeting each other. We had another mutual friend with this friend who was married in a short time as well. And so we had a great conversation around that topic of how can you get married so quickly? How can you be so sure? How can you be so confident?
With like all the risks involved, mm-hmm. like marriage is a one-time mm-hmm. thing.
And I think that's the real question. It's not how quickly or it's how can you get married at all? There's so much fear in our modern culture of divorce, of unhappiness, of did you marry the right person? Could this ruin my whole life?
Yeah, like the commitment fear and also like fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. There's always that question of what if there's someone better mm-hmm. and you commit to this person?
So often people spend their whole dating life of like, Lord, is this the one? Is this the one, Lord? And so we really just want to chat about simplifying this whole process, to chat through a few of the dynamics that are at play to help you be confident or sure in getting married.
So really the length of time thing, how long you're dating someone isn't really an issue. We had people tell us the four seasons thing, like you need to know someone before four seasons before you marry them. And we were like, well, that's not gonna happen. And obviously they were not Christians who recommended that to us, because for us, entering marriage pure was very important to us. And the longer you wait, years and years and years, the harder that is. And, you know, there are people who have dated for a very long amount of time and they unfortunately still get divorced. So how long you date isn't a reflection of how good your marriage is going to be.
So it's not about the length of time that you date, it's what you do with the time. How long does it take you to get to know a girl's values? Do they align with yours? How does she treat her dad? How does she treat her boss? How does she treat her brothers? That is going to be an indicator of how she treats you. I heard a great quote once where this guy said, "A father's job is to look lovingly into her daughter's eyes and tell her no." And if he doesn't do that, then it falls on the husband to do that. And it's a lot harder for a husband to start doing that after 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, however long it is. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that very quickly with how she treats her dad, how she treats her boss, people in authority over her. Because that's going to be the main issue in your life. For a husband is to love your wife, live with her in understanding, with understanding. But for a wife is to respect and obey her husband. So you are going to want to look at all the situations where she has a chance to respect and obey. How does she do that? Does she do it well? Does she do it begrudgingly? Or does she do it cheerfully?
It's a really good gauge to see how she does that with the current men of authority in her life instead of looking at how she's treating you. Because I would say early on in the relationship, it is going to be very exciting. And most girls do want to get a guy's... impress. And so... it's hard to gauge, like, oh, but she's being super respectful to me, even though she's, like, blatantly disrespectful to her boss. Like, those are things just to pay attention to.
And then as far as values are concerned, one of you are going to adapt to the other. So you want as few values conflicts as possible. Now, what are values? How do you find your values? What are the things that make you angry? What are the things that make you really happy and excited? What are the things that make you sad? Those are your values. For instance, money, sex, family, religion. Like, those are the classic four values topics. But if one of us is $20,000 in credit card debt because we just love shopping or love cars or love traveling, whatever the case is, those are values, right? Values, again, that's another part of values. Where do I spend my money and my time? That's values. And so if the other one is like, hey, I don't like $20,000 credit card bills for cars and travel, well, then you're going to have a hard time because one of you is going to have to adapt to the other. And the Bible says that it should be the wife who adapts to the husband. As well, a husband should live with his wife with understanding. So she needs to adapt to my values, but I also need to understand her values. And so there is always some give and take, some negotiation, but you need to know those things from the get-go. And so you can very quickly find those things out. There are some values that are deal breakers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm not going to stop spending $20,000 on cars, or I'm not going to stop eating healthy, or I'm not going to stop going to McDonald's. Like, these are things that you need to figure out. Like, wow, if we spend the rest of our lives together, that is a thing that is valuable to them. And if I attack their value, the value is going to come first over me. That's what you're looking for when we talk about values alignment. Now, there's thousands of things that are just secondary values. So like for me, pets, right? Pets are like, I like dogs. We don't have dogs. My wife likes dogs. We don't have dogs. Like,
that wouldn't have been a deal breaker.
That's not a deal breaker. Or if I was like, hey, I've got five dogs back at home, like, you wouldn't have really cared.
Well, you had zebras, so it, for me it was
deal
like...
deal breaker.
It was like, you must marry me. No. But we actually did talk about the pets thing. Mm-hmm. We were like, what are your thoughts on pets? And at the time, we both really thought we were going to spend our whole life traveling, so we both actually agreed on no pets. Mm-hmm. So we could travel. But... it's just talk about everything. And yeah. I think that's the strange thing with our culture today is I feel like it's very slow to get into the deep things of like, mm-hmm. just go deep. Yeah. What's the point of dating? The point of dating is to figure out if this is who you're going to marry or yeah. not. And by avoiding subjects that are deal breakers, you're going to have huge problems. And what we've found from mentoring college kids, saying what you think the person you like wants to hear rather than being honest, that's another huge problem. I don't know how many college kids we've known that we've figured out in the process of talking to them that they haven't been totally honest with the person yeah. that they're dating. And we're like, well, this is going to cause big problems down the road because you weren't honest at the beginning.
And it's causing anxiety now.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Another way to discover values is to, when you experience things together, be honest about what you thought about that thing. So you go yeah. to dinner with a couple, their kids are running around. After dinner, you say to each other, what did you think about how they raised their kids? And you're like, wow, I really liked how they raised the kids. And then the other person will be like, oh, I really hated how they raised their kids. Well, now you're talking about a values issue.
Yes.
You go to a family dinner or a family night or something like that. It's like, what do you think about my mom's personality? It's like, well, I really like your mom. Okay, good. Or like, I'm really afraid of your mom. Well, now we've got some...
Let's talk
about it because we're now going to have boundary issues down the road. You go out to some fancy restaurant or you go hiking or whatever the dating activities are. You will see things. You will then comment on things. Hey, here's how I felt about how that person treated that person. Here's how I felt when that thing happened and the reaction was this. You start to, and that even carries on in our married life. Like
yeah,
we're
totally.
Constantly refining values, clarifying values. Wow, that family raises their kids really well. When we have children, we would like to raise our children like that. We're constantly refining and polishing and looking at values. And there's things that happen when something that I would react one way and Kelly would react another. And we're like, hey, I didn't like how yeah. I reacted or you reacted. Can we talk about this? And
yeah.
let's get back to our major values and... let us align all of these secondary things, all of these experiences we're having with our major values. So for us, our major values are we love God, we want to obey God, we want our whole lives to just be whatever the Lord wants for our lives. That is our main, major, huge value.
Yeah.
The Bible is going to be the final referee on what our values are. And this is why when you live with a biblical worldview, it takes away so much of the anxiety and the stress of having to live to our own, what we think our values are. When actually the Bible says, no, this is what your values should be in this area. It takes away so much of the stress and the anxiety and the confusion.
And values can change, but that's the blessing of being Christians is our first, like we've changed so much mm-hmm. from who we were when we first got married to who we are now. We are totally different people, but because both of us, our first priority is living obedient to the Lord, we've grown in those value shifts together. And I also think that comes from me learning to be an adaptable wife. I've learned, I would say most of my values have been shaped by Scott in his leadership in our family. The things that I find important are because we talk about everything and they're important to him, so they automatically become important to me.
And so likewise, my values are constantly being shaped by scripture. You know, I will hear a teaching on something and then I'll have to be like, wow, like, am I wrong or is the Bible wrong? It says in Proverbs, the way of transgressors is hard. When we transgress God's ways, when we go against God's values, we're the ones who are going to have a hard time. And so, yeah, I'm constantly being like, Lord, I want to be in your ways. Teach me where I'm not. Give me wisdom. How do I come into alignment with your values? And that's kind of like a trickle-down thing for us. And for a lot of people, it'll be like, wow, you guys are changing. You've changed. And it's like, yeah, we have changed. the more we get to know on certain topics, the more we get to know scriptures, the more we change. We change to become more like scripture, more like the one who we worship.
And for figuring out each other's values, this is why we think it's so important to get real life experience with the person that you're interested in. And that goes for if you meet someone online, or if you meet someone and you happen to live far apart from each other, which was our circumstance. We did long distance for 2 months. However, we did meet through mutual friends. So it's not like we could be fake with each other when we had met each other, because our mutual friends would have been able to say, why are you acting like that? So make sure that you're around their friends or their family, and they're around your friends and your family. And that if you do meet online, figure out a way to get in life experience together so you can identify these values and have these conversations. Because just having conversations over FaceTime or texting, it's really hard to not just be talking and sharing ideas on things rather than like, how does someone actually live? Yeah. It's one thing to have an idea of how you live. It's another thing to actually live life and see how someone is.
Yeah, that was our kind of 2 months of Skype. It was like, here's our dreams and all the things we want to do and all our ideals. And then you get into life with each other and it's like, okay, but now what's the present?
Yeah.
And like, who are you really? And you have to, like, those 2 months almost didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because none of it was, well, here's what we really think about this situation that's in front of us right now.
And so that's why for us, it's so important that you do get in person with someone instead of just keeping it online or over FaceTime.
So you want to, when you're dating, have a frank conversation about who is going to adapt to whose life. Especially in this culture, a lot of guys have been taught, have been brainwashed into being the servant leader. I'm going to serve and adapt to you. I'm going to serve your needs. I'm going to serve your mission. I'm going to serve your values. I'm going to die to myself and serve you.
Be my helpmeet, is basically.
Yeah. And so we are taught to become wives. We're taught to become wives to our strong, independent husbands. That's why there are so many marital problems in this popular culture. It's an inversion of the roles. It's a, you know, it's a total just mess up of how it's meant to be. And then we're like, well, marriage is broken. It's like, no, you're not doing it right. So let's get it right. You're trying to find out when you're dating, is she willing to adapt to me? Is she cheerful in respecting me, cheerful in how she obeys and respects her father, how she adapts to what her father, to how her father runs the household.
How she adapts to life's circumstances that are being thrown at her.
Yeah, does she flip out and have like
an emotional breakdown,
or is she in control of her emotions? And then is she helpful? Is she helpful to her dad? Is she helpful to her boss? Is she helpful to where you want to go in life? And it's not necessarily helpfulness of like, man, these are the four things I'm struggling with. I need someone who hits these four things. It's like, no. Is she just generally helpful toward your mission with her gifts, with her talents, with her skills? Is she wanting to be of help to you? Then you have a helpful wife. Someone who does you good, not harm, all the days of your life. You know, you can hire different skills and talents and things that you need, but it's like, is her heart helpful toward you? Mm-hmm. And then another part of doing marriage right, getting in the right roles, is so obviously guys will be looking for a feminine trad wife, a traditional wife who's going to be respectful and obedient. Reality is those are like fairy dust.
It's hard unicorns. To find in today's
culture. Yeah, in today's culture, to find a father who has really protected his daughter from the school system, from university, from cultural feminism.
They do exist.
They do exist, praise God. But then, you know, they're going to have 1,000 guys competing for her value. And so it's more likely going to be, you know, you're going to find a girl who has been brought up in the culture, and you're going to, together, move into more traditional roles. So likewise, girls are going to struggle because they want the Hallmark hot guy who's wealthy and crushing it and confident and 6'2" and spiritual and a worship leader. Again, that is unicorn stuff. You know, so we both have to get to this place where you understand that you're building a life together. You're building into roles together that are not natural to you because the culture is against that. You're not going to be the finished product when you meet each other. And so a lot of guys are going to be like, well, she's not the trad wife. And a lot of girls are going to be like, well, he is not the Hallmark hot worship leader guy. For guys, you need to understand that you will be drawing the femininity out of your woman. You're going to be leading her into tradition, into femininity. And so it's on you to assess, is her heart willing? then yes, you can go on, even if she hasn't perfectly had this with her father or her boss. However, there's red flags. You don't want to override wisdom with your, you know, I can do it. I'm stronger than her past, or I'm stronger than these red flags that are showing themselves.
Don't ignore the red flags out of an act of being a savior to mm-hmm. some hot girl that you think you can turn into this virtuous woman. It's yeah. like, you really are looking for a woman who has virtue, or a girl who has virtue, even if she hasn't fully embraced what it means to be a feminine woman. Because unfortunately, when girls are taken out of their father's household and put into higher education university systems, it's really hard for those girls to keep their femininity in yeah. the masculine realm of university, and it's hard for them to keep their purity in that place. So yeah. there's a lot of things going against the young girl, and that's why we always encourage guys to look for girls that are younger, 18, 19, 20, before she's been fully brainwashed. And praise God if you find a girl that did go through those things and maintained her virtue and purity, and it can happen. The big thing is what Scott said, is she willing? Like, is it just that she's been forced into having to protect herself, provide for herself, and pushed into the masculine frame, even though that's not really what she wants? We know many girls that are single, looking to be married, and they have to work a job in the masculine frame to get by.
Which, again, is a part of a conversation that you need to have of, are you willing to live a traditional married life?
And like, would you want to be a stay-at-home mom? How many kids do you want?
And a good way to do that as well is to get around those people, if you can find them, you know, in your life, whether it be people you know from work, people you know from church, whatever the case is, and say, hey, do you like how they run their life? Do you like how they are doing family? Definitely. And if she's like, oh my gosh, I would love that, then she's willing. If she's willing, a great book for her to read is Created to Be His Helpmeet by Debbie Pearl. This was life-changing for us.
Yeah, it was really good. I feel like for me, it was everything that I had been craving of understanding my role as a feminine, godly woman to be my husband's helpmeet in a world where that's not even talked about. And so just to get a reaction from a girl, if she thinks that is bogus, it's like,
another part of this is to not over-spiritualize the dating process. You know, so many people want to hear from God. Like, Lord, if you'll just tell me in a dream or send me a postcard that she's the one or he's the one. Don't over-spiritualize it. You know, the scripture says, if you burn with lust, get married. So on one hand, we have this very minimal requirement of, do you find her attractive? And do not be unequally yoked. So is she a Christian? Does she want to obey the Lord? If those two minimal requirements are met, there's not a problem getting married. You know, David Pawson, the old English preacher, says it doesn't quite matter who you marry, it matters how you marry.
Quite a key word.
Is a key word. You know, so there are some key little red flags that it's like, no, you know.
Use wisdom.
Yeah, use wisdom. But once you find a girl that you're attracted to, she's willing to be helpful and respectful and adaptable to your life, praise God, get married. You know, are you attracted? Does she want to adapt to your life? Does she want to serve the Lord? Praise God. You don't have to over-spiritualize it. Same thing for girls. It's like, oh, but he's not the worship leader, or he's not out evangelizing, or he's not whatever
super spiritual
thing of like, Lord, I don't know if he's the one. It's the same thing. Does he love the Lord? Is he willing to obey God to his own harm? And are you attracted to him? Then praise God.
Is his secret life, the life he's living in secret, is that wholesome and godly and biblical? If it is, then you don't need him to be up on a stage teaching or out evangelizing. And we're not saying those things aren't good things, but some guys, that's just not going to happen. They're not going to go on a prayer walk around campus. They're rather going to go and help a young man work and earn money. I was going to say, they're going to go help a young man learn how to fix his car or change his oil. Yeah. That's his super spiritual ministry, is teaching practical things.
But I also want to hit on that, like the thing of like, no, they work and make money. Like, praise God. You know, I was joking around with a few of my mates recently, and we were just saying how, you know, you always get these letters from students who want to go on mission trips of like, oh, please will you fund my trip for Jesus? And the one guy was like, go get a job for Jesus. And I thought that was hilarious, but it's the truth. Yeah, he's not a Christian. He's like, go get a job for Jesus. And I was like, Praise God, that's really good. You know, that's great theology right there.
And I laugh because I was the girl that sent out all of the letters asking for people to donate to my mission trips.
Amen.
We've come a long way.
We've come a long way. And then the last part to finish this whole thing on timelines and all this stuff. If you burn with lust, get married. That's a scripture. Check it out. It's not us saying this. If you find the lady you're dating attractive, you're going to have a very hard time stopping the desires to become one. You're going to have a hard time. For guys, we do very well with timelines, goals, deadlines, limits that we know we can hold. So it's like, this girl's very attractive. If I can decide in the next 6 months whether we get married or break up, I can control myself because there's an end goal.
You're being generous. Normally he says 3 months, so he's being very generous to you guys saying within 6 months. Usually you're much more extreme.
Yeah.
I usually say give them 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
But, you think it can be done in 3 months.
Yeah, because the point is, you know, most people in our popular culture are willing to have sex on the first date, and now you're one flesh. Now you're bonded, you're pair bonded. You're not going to make decisions on values and be able to have honest conversations about values because you're clouded by your lusts. And that's okay. That's a good thing in marriage. You know, in marriage, like there is such a thing as this honeymoon period because, yeah, you're pair bonding, you're having sex. This is great. It smooths over a lot of things. And that's a great place to start your life. But you have to have first...
In marriage.
Yeah, first dealt with a lot of the hard things that, you know, having sex is not going to paper over certain cracks. It's not going to fix certain red flags. Mm-hmm. And so you want to avoid having sex until you have figured out all of those red flags. Like, yeah, this isn't going to work. I bless you. We're not going to get married so we can end this relationship.
And there's nothing there. Like, mm-hmm. there is no tie or...
There's no guilt. There's no obligation.
Yeah.
There's no sexual chemistry, sexual bonding.
Or awkwardness. If you see each other again, mm-hmm. if you're in a church and you happen to still be going to the same church after you break up, you can truly, like, bless each other there. And mm-hmm. move on, realizing that, this wasn't the best.
Yeah. So that's for guys... especially because, you know, that's going to be the main thing on our minds.
And I would say for girls, because the moment that you give yourself to a guy, you've just released him from having to make a commitment to you. Now he's learned that he can sleep with you without any commitment. Mm-hmm. And so for girls, then they feel like they have to keep on giving their bodies to guys. And it's like you've just entered a doom loop that you're never going to get out of because you feel... that the more you give yourself to him, he's not going to leave you. But you're never going to get the commitment that you deeply long from him because you're giving him the very thing that would have been the reason he would have committed to you if he wanted to marry you.
Here's the issue for girls, is your timeline. If you date a guy for a year, that's a year of your most highest market value gone. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be stringing along multiple year-long datings. You know, because before you know it, you know, 10 years has passed or 50, you know, some girls even do that with one guy who won't marry them. They'll date them for 10 years or whatever. So 3 to 6 months for the guys, especially of like, have a target because you're burning with lust. But for girls as well, 3 to 6 months, have a target of like, I'm not going to let a guy waste my time or take my virtue because there is a husband out there who is looking to commit to me. So we hope this helps you just dig into the whole value side of dating and is marriage worth it? Bless you guys. Praise God.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please leave us a review. And if you want to follow along on YouTube, our channel is Scott and Kelly. And my Instagram page is Home with Kelly, Kelly with an I. Thanks so much. And we hope you have a blessed day.